And we're holding on Yud Zayin Omud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday, we started a discussion where the Priya Ba'aba had said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hatoyin Acha Maisa Based In, that if a person claims about a Maisa Based In, for example, the example that we gave was a Ksuba or the various other obligations that a person incurs together with the ksuba, such as, for example, mazen ha'isha v'abonis, that his widow will be supported after he passes away, and that his daughters will be supported after he passes away out of the estate until a certain time. So those kinds of things, if now he, or in this case the yorshim, claim that it was paid, then that's not it's not a valid claim. They'd need to bring proof, such as edim or whatever, that it was done. Because anybody who has a Maisa based in is the equivalent of having a shtar in their hand. So we were discussing that back. So the Priya Ba'aba had asked Rabbi Yochanan that there's a Mishnah that seems to be saying that. Why do you need to say that din? And Rabbi Yochanan points out that you're only saying that now that you realize that the Mishnah is talking more generally and that it's not limited only to certain cases. If I hadn't told you that, you wouldn't have realized that. So now Abaya asked. So Abaya asked that on the face of it, the Mishnah could be talking about, it could indeed be talking about one specific case, a Mishnah that says that if she has a get and not a ksuba, then she can collect to a ksuba. So Abaya says, you have places where they don't actually write out the ksuba, they just rely orally on the tachonas based in. So maybe only there is a get without a ksuba good enough to collect. So now Abaya started saying, he said, no, actually it can't be like that, because if you're going to say that any time that a ksuba is written, you need to show the actual ksuba to collect, then what does an almana min ha'erusin do? After all, she doesn't have the ksuba written yet. It's usually not written until close to the nisuin. And yet she can collect on the basis of the fact that she's an almana. And obviously she has to be able to collect, because you can't say that her chassan's yoshim should be able to say, well, we already paid it, because then maha ilu chachamim b'takanasa, and then what would be the point of the takana that she should collect in the first place? So now we're continuing on that theme. Omole makshisha b'reid Rav Chista lo Rav Ashi. So makshisha, the son of Rav Chista, asked Rav Ashi that. This that Abaya is taking as a given, that an arusa whose chosin passed away is in fact entitled to the ksuba payment, and therefore he's using it as a basis to say that it can't be that that we're limiting the din of the Mishnah over there only to a place where they don't write a ksuba. Where in fact does he get that idea? Maybe in fact the ksuba payment kicks in only after the nisuin. Here Abaya is taking it as a given that it's not so. But where do you see it? Tosfos points out. Now there are other places in Shas where it implies that yes, she does. But we want to find a proof from a Mishnah, from a Braisa, rather than from statements of Amiroi. Or Tosfos says another possibility. The question is that why. That we're saying that the question is that on the face of it, even if she brings edim that her husband died, that her chassan died, shouldn't the other party be able to, her husband's yoshim, be able to bring counterproof and or counter argument and say that they paid it? Where she was a grushim and an erusin, sure, then she has a get, but the question is an almonim and erusin. So where is Abaya getting that as a definitive statement that then he can use that as the basis for the continuation of his argument? Ilema mehodatinan, are you going to say we learn it from a Mishnah in Ksubas? Nis'amala in Nisgarsha, Bemina Erosin, Bemina Ubemina Nisuin. If a woman was widowed or divorced, whether from Erosin or whether from Nisuin, Goiva Esakol, then she collects everything, both the Iku Ksuba, which is the 100 or 200, depending whether she was a Basula or not, as well as the Tosfos Ksuba, the extra amount that the Chosin voluntarily wrote into the Ksuba that will pay her. So you're going to say, well, that proves pretty clearly then that an Almonim and an Erisin collect. Because no, Duma Hecha de Kosov Law, that would only apply maybe where he wrote the Ksuba already. So the Chachamim were not yet Misakin a Ksuba. Usually the Ksuba would be written closer to the time of the Nisuin. But here we're talking about that he voluntarily wrote out the ksuba a bit early. say in that case, if he wrote out the ksuba, then what's the chiddush? Of course, he was machayev himself. You could say la pukim the double osman azaria do amash le kosev la elam manas lekainza, because the Tanakhama wants to tell us not like Rabbi Elazar Azariah in the same Mishnah who says that look, the only reason he wrote her the Tosfos, Rabbi Elazar Azariah agrees that in that case the ikur ksuba still has to be paid out because the ikur ksuba is a takonas chachamim, and since he decided to write it out in advance, then therefore that's more of a reason to be mechayev him, even if we say that normally an almonim and an erisin shouldn't collect. But in this case, where he wrote it out for her voluntarily, and it is, after all, the Takanas Chachamim, then that would be a reason to have him or his Yoshim be on the hook for it. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that the Tosfos, Shaloi Kosovo Ela Manas Lekoinsa, the only reason he wrote the Tosfos Ksuba is that she's on the understanding that she is going to come to the Chuppah and they are going to get married. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah argues that if they were divorced or he died before the Nisuin, then at least there shouldn't have to be the Tosfos Ksuba. So it's Tzrichalei, therefore the Tana would have needed to tell us that not like that, and say that even in that case, you can collect the Tosfos Ksuba. And in fact, the Gemara says, Dekanami. In fact, you can see that from the wording of the Mishnah that you're talking about where he wrote out the Ksuba voluntarily early. Because the Mishnah uses the expression that she collects everything. If you're saying that you're talking about where he wrote her the shtar, then that explains why it uses the expression that she collects everything, meaning everything that he voluntarily accepted on himself as a responsibility, ikar and tosfos, she can collect. But if you're saying that he didn't write out that he didn't actually write out the ksuba yet, and you were going to say the Mishnah is talking even in that case, my goyva sakoil, why would she be collecting everything? He didn't make any tnai with her. Mono mosayim hu deisla. All there should be so far is the 100 or 200, the 100 or 200 zuz, depending whether she's not a besolo or she is. In other words, if there's no ksuba yet, then there's no Tosfos Ksuba to talk about yet because it hasn't been written. So therefore, there's no Hakol to talk about. Necessarily, therefore, the Mishnah must be talking about where the Ksuba has already been written. Even though normally the Ksuba would be written only right before the Nisuin, here he voluntarily wrote it during the year that, or whatever it is that she's an Arusa. And then we're saying that now there's a Tosfos Ksuba to talk about, and the Mishnah is saying, according to the Tanakhama, Goyva Sakol. So all you have a proof from that Mishnah is if the ksuba was written out already at the time during the time of the Erisin, then she's entitled to collect the whole thing according to the Tanakhama and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah only the Iker. That doesn't prove that in a case where no ksuba was written yet that she should be entitled to collect anything during the Erisin, not necessarily. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ela mitoni chia ba'ami." Okay, so maybe we can say then that we can learn it from what mitoni rav chia ba'ami. From this, that rav chia ba'ami taught in a brisa, ishta arusa, when a kohen has a wife who is arusa, who he was ma'aris, he was makadish, but he didn't yet do nisuin. Loi oinen v'loi matamila. So not all these dinim are going to be as far as a kohen. Some of them are going to be, but anyway. A man who was ma'aris a woman, loy oinen, if she passes away, then he does not do aninus for her. So in the case of a koyen, that would be in particular that he's not also to eat, that he's not also to do the avoida and to eat kodshim. And normally a koyen who becomes an oinen, any koyen except for a koyen gadol, is also to do the avoida as long as he's an oinen until the mess is buried. Or midaraisa, it's actually only if the mess is only on the first day, the night after that, if the mess hasn't been buried yet, is only midabon, and the Gemara discusses that in several places. Whatever. The point is there is a period of aninus daraisa when he's not allowed to do the avoda, with the exception of the Kohen Gadol, and nobody, no Kohen, even a Kohen Gadol, is allowed to eat kodshim during that time. So those dinim don't apply if his wife is an arusa. V'loy mitamila. He, if he's a Kohen, he's not allowed to become Tomei for her, because that only applies to She'eroi zu ishtoi, and She'eroi is only She'er literally means his flesh, and that applies only once those are nisuin and they become levoser echad, they become one flesh, but not before that. Similarly, if he dies, she doesn't become an onan for him, and she's not metame for him. Now, what do you mean? Now we're not talking about, Rashi points out, we're not talking about from the point of view of kahuna, of a bas koyin or a wife of a koyin is allowed to become tame. What we mean is she's not required to become tame for him, because Rashi brings from elsewhere that, for example, the Gemara tells a story about Yosef HaKoyin, where it was Erev Pesach, his wife passed away. He didn't want to become Tomei because he wanted to bring a Korban Pesach and to be able to do the Avodah for himself and for other people to bring the Korban Pesach. So he didn't want to attend the Levaya and become Tomei, and the Chachamim forced him to. So now we're saying, on the other hand, if she is in such a situation and her chosen passes away, she's not obligated to become Tomei for him because he's only her chosen, he's only her Orus and not yet Nisuin. Elsewhere, Rashi brings a different point as well, which is, we know, Chayav Adam Motayr Atzmei Beregel, a person is obligated to make themselves Tohar when it comes Yomtiv and to avoid becoming Tomei. And so here we're saying that if it's Yomtiv, then she wouldn't become Tomei for her Chosen, because again, there's no requirement of Pialacha for her to, and therefore instead she needs to stay Tohar in order to be Tohar for the Yomtiv. Anyway, the point is that the Braisa continues, Mesa Eina Yosha, if she dies during the time of the Erusin, then he doesn't Yoshin her property. Instead, since they don't have any children, then instead it goes back to her father's family. Meshu, if he dies, Govok Subasa, then she collects Huksuba. So on the face of it, don't we see from that we're talking about an Arusa, and we're saying that she does have a Ksuba? But the Gemara says that's still not really a proof, because Duma to Kosov law, again, you could say that maybe the Braisa is talking about, we already wrote the Ksuba out during the Erusin. V'chitema to Kosov la Mayim Memra, and again, you're going to ask, like we said before, if he wrote it for her, then what's the Chiddush? And the answer is, you're right, there's not much of a Chiddush in it. Mesa in a Yosha, it's Srichalai. The bigger, the Chiddush of the Braisa is that if she dies, he doesn't yashin her, and therefore, for parallelism, the Braisa also mentioned what happens in terms of her yashining him if he dies, namely that she collects uksuba. But it's true, there's not necessarily a chiddush in it, because if you're talking about that the uksuba was in fact written out, then there's really no proof that if there's no uksuba written out, that she shouldn't be able to collect uksuba. So there's no real proof one way or the other whether an Amonim and an Erisin collect the Ksuba, and in fact there are different opinions of Rishonim about it. Tosfos says over here that the fact is she does on the basis of other Gemaras. Here the Gemara doesn't want to bring a proof because it wanted to bring a proof from a Mishnah or a Braisa, and it couldn't find one. But nevertheless, we have statements of Amiroyim elsewhere in Shas that imply that they do. The Rashba, explains that he brings from earlier Rishonim who say, well, then the halacha is she may not have one. The Rashba himself says, no, all it is from this sugya, you don't have a proof one way or the other. But again, there are other sugyas that bear on this, and that from which it comes out that she does. Okay. Anyway, so now the question is going to be like this. Given that we haven't brought a solid proof one way or the other, whether an Arusa collects a Ksuba, then we're back to how did Abaya use the expression Lav Milsehi de Amri? He says, what I said before to try to question the discussion between Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba and Rabbi Yochanan, that I took it as a given that Abaya is saying that I thought that maybe that Mishnah that from Ksubas that Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba had quoted is talking only in a place where they don't write a Ksuba, but in a place where they do write the Ksuba, you do actually need a written Ksuba in order to collect it, and just having Edim that the husband died is not enough. So Abaye had said, no, it's not so. Actually, I realize that otherwise, how does an Almonim and Erison collect? Meaning that he takes it as a given that an Almonim and Erison does collect. So now the question is, the question was where Abaya gets that from. Before we were saying that we thought we could bring a proof to that. Now that we can't bring a proof to that, then the question becomes, where is Abaya getting that fact from? So Ela Abaya migufa namasnis and kahodabe. The answer is Abaya is basing himself not on any proof from a different Mishnah or Braisa, but from the very Mishnah itself, about Hotzia get ve'enim aksuba, where she brings out a get and she doesn't have a ksuba, and we say she can collect on the basis of a get, on the basis of the get. From that, it's from that Mishnah itself, Abaya realizes that it means that that we can also learn from it about the case of an Amonim and Erisin. Obviously, an Amonim, you don't know a get, but he's going to prove as follows. If you're going to tell me that the din of that Mishnah is limited to a case, to the kind of place where they don't write a ksuba, and they depend only on the takonas based in, the get hainu ksubasa, and you're going to say, well, the get therefore functions in effect in place of a ksuba. In other words, when she brings out a get, then she can say, well, look, you know, the fact that I have a get itself shows that I'm still owed this money for my ksuba, for my unwritten ksuba. Otherwise, I wouldn't still have the get. It would have been ripped up or written on or something, as we're going to say soon. If you're going to say that, you have to wonder, otu get monama sayim ksiv bay? Does the get say anywhere in it about how much the ksuba is, 100 or 200? Obviously not. The get just says they got divorced. You don't know how much he owed her before. You're going to say, well, okay, look, the Chachamim made a takana, 100 for a non-Basula, 200 for a Basula. So it says, if it said that number in the get, still, it wouldn't work. Litan v'leima parait. Still, why wouldn't the husband be able to make a claim and say, I paid off the ksuba? V'chitema damrinan le'i parata ibo lach mikra. You're gonna tell the husband that, look, no, obviously you didn't pay. If you did, you should have ripped it up. Amalon, he can very well answer, loy shavakton, my ex-wife, my grusha, I wanted to do that. I gave her the money. I gave her the 100 or the 200, and I wanted to rip up the shtar, and she wouldn't let me. Why? Amra b'inalin suvi bay, because she says, look, I want this get as a proof in the future that I can get married. Nowadays, by the way, what we do is, nowadays, what the Bote Dinim do is, after the woman receives the get, they rip it, so they make a kera based in it to show that it's been, to show that it's no longer valid, and instead they give her a maisa based in, a shtar written and signed by based in, that certifies that she received her get on such and such a date. That avoids some of the issues we're dealing with over here. It also avoids the issue that, for example, in the future, somebody might look at the get, say, hey, there's something in it that was written that doesn't seem quite right, and then they're going to try to pass all the get. So as opposed to this maisa based in that they give her a form that says that Plonius received her get from Plony, her husband, on such and such a date, etc. In this based in, then they're not going to find any problems with that. But anyway, here in the times of the Gemara, they didn't necessarily do that. They would actually, she would hold on to the get, and she could use it to read afterwards to show that she's no longer married and that she can remarry. So the husband might have a claim to say that the fact that the get still exists doesn't show that I already paid it. And so we continue in the Gemara of Chitema Aminan Le'yiboy Loch Lemikra. So we're going to tell him, okay, well, fine. You couldn't have you could have ripped it. You're going to say that you should have had it ripped and write it and have written on it by based in that when we ripped up this get, it's not because it's a possible get. Now the thing is, if you didn't write this statement, then she's going to say, well, of course I don't want the get ripped up. People in the future are going to see that I'm holding a ripped up get. They're going to say it was ripped up because it was possible. So fine, what we would say is we would have based in rip it up. They would write on the get itself the fact that we ripped up this get is not because it's possible. Only so that she doesn't go and collect with it again. Because again, we're talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba, and therefore the get by itself serves as proof that the ksuba has not been paid. So we would say, then fine, you husband, pay off the ksuba. Then what we'll do is we'll rip up the ksuba and we'll rip up the get and we'll write that statement on it. The problem with that is also called a magbi, bedina magbi. Do you think that everybody, whenever the person collects, whenever a person collects a debt, they always do it in Beistin? Not necessarily. So therefore, there may not have been anybody available to any Beistin available to write that. So he can claim, in other words, that I paid her. I wanted to rip up the get. She wouldn't let because she wants the get to be remarried. I said, let's rip it and have this statement written on it. But there's no Beistin nearby to do that, and therefore she said, no, I'm keeping my get intact, and therefore now the husband can claim that I paid it, and yet the get is intact. So the fact that the get still exists and hasn't been ripped up doesn't prove one way or the other whether he paid or not. So obviously, therefore, that shows, like Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the reason why we don't believe his claim, the reason why the Mishnah is saying that if she brings out an intact get, she can collect her ksuba, is on the basis of the principle that Hatoyin Acha Maisa Beistin, like also like Omer V'Lo Klum, that when a person claims that he paid something which is a Maisa Beistin, in this case the get, which was to begin with executed under the eye of Beistin, not that the get itself was done under the eye of Beistin, but rather that the tnoik suba that the get shows that at one time these tnoik suba existed. That's ma'isa Beistin, because you have the takanas chachamim of the amount of the suba and of mazin ish of abonis and other such things. So now if he claims that he paid it without any proof, then lo omer v'lo klum. So therefore, after all, that does prove what Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba had said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and in fact we can prove it from that Mishnah, not because in other words, Abaye is saying it's not because we have to say otherwise how is an Almonim and an Erisin collecting, because in fact we didn't find any proof one way or the other that Almonim and an Erisin does have a Ksuba to collect. But rather, the proof is because if we're talking only in a place where no ksuba is written in the first place, then we would have to say the fact of having an intact get doesn't necessarily show that it wasn't paid off. And since the Mishnah says that it is a valid proof of that, then that shows, as we just worked out, that it means that Hatoyin Acha Maisa Beistin Loi Omer V'Loi Klum, just on the basis of the fact that the Tznai Beistin exists, and therefore that he needs to bring actual proof that he paid it off, more than just saying yeah, but the fact I tried to rip up the get, but she wouldn't let me, etc. Tosfos, though, still discusses that after all, the Mishnah could still be talking about a case where Ein Kosvin and you write on the get, something that you don't have to rip it up necessarily, but you write a statement, on the get that it was paid off. Or you could be talking about, let's say, that she has Edim, that the get was given to her, and the get itself we wouldn't rip up again because she wants to collect with it, etc. So Tosfos discusses those points a little bit, and then ends up answering the fact that the Mishnah says, the Mishnah also describes a case where she has the ksuba and not a get, the other way around, where she still has the ksuba but she doesn't have the get on hand. So therefore that shows that Mishnah is talking about a place where the ksuba is in fact written. And therefore we see that even then, and we would say if he paid it off, then we would expect that he has a shoiver, that he has a receipt. If she doesn't want him to rip up the get, then a receipt will have to be written out and he's gonna have to hold on to the receipt. That's Tosfos mentions those points. On the other hand, Marsha says that the sugya that we just learned doesn't really seem to fit according to the way that Tosfos just explained it, and he explains that Tosfos actually must have had a bit of a different girsa in the Gemara over here, that the Gemara was proving that the Mishnah can't be talking about only a case where they don't write a ksuba, but a place where they don't write a ksuba, but rather that they would have a girsa that if you're going to say that the get functions in place of a ksuba, then you would say that, in other words, that So only so in either case, a buyer would say that you can't say that you write such a thing on the shtar. It's that you write such a thing on the get, etc. That it was paid off. So in other words, Tosfos's whole understanding would be based on a bit of a different girsa in the Gemara about how a buyer goes and proves his point exactly. In any case, so we stand with that. Therefore, so we're left with that that in fact the din remains as Reb Chiya Bar Abba had said. That if he wants to claim that he paid off this Maisa Beistin, in this case the Ksuba payment or the Mazon Ishav Abonis or whatever, he's going to have to bring proof for it. The fact that. He would have to bring out a shover, a receipt that he received for it, or he would have to bring out edim that he paid her or whatever. Just saying that he paid is not going to be enough. Okay. Mishnah says, getting back to the topic of lost and found status, the Mishnah says, Matzah gitei noshim, if a person finds a woman's get, v'shechrurei avodim, or he finds a document that an eved was freed, diatiki, or if he finds a diatiki, which we learned a few days ago is a will, either the word diatiki comes from Aramaic words that means da tehe kayam, this will continue to exist because it's a will by a shchiv mara, and that has a very strong power, or we said the word diatiki may actually come from a Greek word that means approximately a will. Anyway, matana, or he found a shtar matana, a matnas body, that is, where as a healthy person, he says, I'm giving such and such assets to Pliny as a matana. The shovrin, or you find a receipt. Hareza lo yachzir, in all those cases, you shouldn't return it. Shani omer, suvin hoyu v'nim lachalein shaloi litna. Because you can say that now, unlike the shtori choy with the previous Mishnah, where there's the concern that they were paid off, you don't have the concern of them being paid off. But you do have the consideration that he may have written them and then decided after all not to give them. So therefore, so you can't give them to the party who's mentioned in it. Now as far as the get, actually, the Pnei Yeshua points out, don't you have a different issue with it anyway? How would you return it to the wife anyway? The husband didn't make you a shliach to give the get. So what are you saying that if the husband after all is claiming he didn't divorce her, so obviously you can't return it to that. And actually the Hareza lo yachzir of the Mishnah means you don't return it to either one of them. The reason is because Rashi doesn't mention that over here. There's a Gemara in Gittin that mentions this Mishnah and discusses it in terms of the halachas of Gittin. Rashi over there explains that you don't give it back to the husband either. The reason being, in other words, having to do with what we were just discussing in the Gemara, that he's going to later on bring proof, like this, he's claiming that he didn't divorce her yet. Meanwhile, later on, he's going to bring edim that in fact he did. Then when she comes to collect her ksuba, he's going to claim that he already paid it. So in fact, that's why I have the get. Therefore, she gave me back the get to serve as a receipt. And therefore, we don't want that. So therefore, you don't return it to either one of them. You leave it in escrow and based it until we figure out what the story is. But in any case, the Pnei Yeshua points out that what's the hava mina you could return it to her anyway? He's claiming he didn't divorce her with it. So obviously you can't give it to her. It needs to go from him or from his shliach. And he didn't appoint you a shliach to give it to her. So what's even the hava mina to give it to her anyway? And the Pnei Yeshua points out, because after all, you could say that it's much more likely that the woman dropped it than that the man did. After all, she keeps it long term. He doesn't. He writes the get, and presumably shortly after that, he gives it to her. You have a concept also, the Gemara mentions, a person does not bring out a onus for himself early on. We learned about this in Gittin. So you don't expect, in other words, that a person is going to write a get and hold it by him for a long time. But Pashtus is going to write the get, which after all is a peronus. It's a negative thing. He's going to write it as close as possible to when it's given. So it's hardly likely that in that short amount of time he dropped it, as opposed to the wife keeps it for a long time, and there's much more likelihood. Yeah, nevertheless, especially if she wants to be married, she wants to keep it. Therefore, the Pnei Yeshua points out you would have very good reason to argue that maybe we should argue that there's much more likely that she dropped it, and therefore we should return it to her. And the Mishnah is saying, nevertheless, you don't do that.
Of course, she has Edom. You have to give a get with Edom.
You have to give a get with Edom, but what if the Edom aren't available? I mean, we learned back in Gittin, Edom Asira Kauti, Edom Chesima Kauti, or whatever. The advantage of having the advantage of having the Edom signed in a shtar is in case the advantage of having the Edom signed in the shtar is in case later on they die or they go to Medina Sayam or whatever. You still have their signatures, and then and that's good enough. Yeah. As far as this, that we're saying that if there's a shtoyver, that if there's a receipt, you don't return it, you have a machlokas aposkim, what happens in that case doesn't mean that the original shtar that the shtoyver is referring to, you can still collect with or not. We're saying the shtoyver itself, if you found a lost shtoyver, you don't return it, but you have machlokas aposkim, where among the achronim, whether in fact you would be able to collect the original, you would be able to collect the original, for example. So the Nosa Kalim on the Nosa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer in connection with the Ksuba, the Chelkas Machoikin and the Beis Shmuel, who are the two major Nosa Kalim on Eben Ezer, they both say that that in fact, for example, with the Ksuba, you would say that you would be able to collect the Ksuba. On the other hand, the Judisha and the Taz argue that no, the fact is you still have a suffix on the shtar choy and you can't collect with it. So it's machlokas aposkim what you do in that kind of case. Anyway,
the Mishnah doesn't say why you don't give it to her, right?
The Mishnah doesn't say one way or the other. But
what can happen?
So that's the thing. You can't give it to her because what if the husband was the one who dropped it? So now it was not a valid get. You give it to her, then she's going to think that she was divorced and she wasn't. That's a big problem. The chiddush is, it actually mentions elsewhere, you don't give it back to the husband. Because so you could say, what's the problem giving it back to the husband? So you give it to him, let him, and fine. Now he'll go and give it to his wife, or he'll appoint a shliach to give it to his wife. What's the problem? The problem is, again, like we said, that he may falsely claim that he may bring Edom in the future that he did. In fact, right now he's claiming that he didn't divorce her. Later on, he may bring Edom that in fact he did, and then on the basis of that, claim that I already paid Huxuba, and that's why I have the get back in my possession.
Yeah, bring Edom. Unless it's true.
He brings Edom that it's true that he divorced her, but now he's going to claim, to begin with, he's going to say, when the get is found, he's going to say, I dropped it, it was never given to her yet, so I hadn't divorced her yet. Later on, he brings Edom and say that it's a say, that actually I did divorce her, and then, now why do I have the get? Because I already paid Huxuba. So there's a knunya involved over here that he might be playing a trick. You can look at the date. First of all, get we did learn in Gittin that a get has to have a date on it, but still the date doesn't have to be so exact. It could be within a year, it could be even within a Shemitah cycle or whatever. The point is, whatever you can, you know, there's ways that he could be playing it. Okay, so the Gemara says time of the nimlach shalo litna. Now, what are you saying? Because the concern is that he may have changed his mind and decided not to give the get. That's why you're saying that you shouldn't give it to either one of them. It sounds like if the husband were now to say, go ahead, give her the get, then that would work. And that would work even if the get is, even if it's a long time later. So in other words, even if the get is dated months ago and we first found it now, it sounds like we're saying that we should still go ahead and give it to her as his shliach. So even we're not concerned, in other words, that then now the concern is, the Gemara is going to discuss, what if there's another get with the same names and maybe it actually belongs to somebody else. So here, for example, you have to use the example that the Gemara uses later, Yosef ben Shimon. So say, for example, we find a get that says that Yosef ben Shimon is divorcing his wife Leah bas Avraham. So now we find a get months later, a Yosef ben Shimon who's married to a Leah bas Avraham comes to us and says, yes, this is the get that I dropped a few months ago. Go ahead, I'm making you my shluchim now, give it to her. Don't we have the problem? There might be a different person, there might be a different couple with the same names, and the get has to be written l'shma and l'shmai. So it wouldn't work. So the Mishnah seems to be implying that that's fine. Or to Minhu, though, I have a contradiction, because a Mishnah says in Gittin, hamevi get for Ovid Hemenu, if a shliach is bringing a get and he lost it, motzev alter, if he finds it right away, and the Mishnah and the Gemara there in Gittin deal with exactly how long is considered la'alter, kosher, then it's still kosher. Im lav posel, and if not, then it's posel. So there, the Mishnah distinguishes between whether you found the la'alter or not. Our Mishnah is not making any such distinction. Well, why not? Shouldn't it matter? Our Mishnah is just saying, from the point of view of Dini Mominus, you can't return it to him or her. And therefore, if he says Tnu, go ahead and give it. But don't you have that consideration of L'alter? So why isn't the Mishnah over here making that distinction? Tosfos brings up the question, actually, that you could say that so maybe the Mishnah means that even if he said snu, then you still don't give it when it says v'nimlach, means v'nimlach alayin shalei litnan, that maybe now he wasn't careful to watch it because he figured I'm not going to give it anyway, so it's not really an important shtar, and now later on he finds it and he's saying snu, and we're saying that we don't pay it, and that we don't give it, we don't give that get, because maybe it's somebody else's get. But not that, in other words, the key thing would not necessarily be nimlach. The Mishnah is mentioning nimlach, that because, in the sense, if he never changed his mind, if he planned the whole time to divorce her, then we would say that we do give her the get. Maybe that's what we should infer from the Mishnah. Who says that we should infer from it that it means that so in other words, what are we saying? The Gemara is saying that that if he says tnu, you always give it. But maybe not. Maybe we'd say within Nimlach itself, we have to distinguish. Within that itself, we have to distinguish whether Nimlach, where therefore it's less likely that there was a time when he changed his mind and decided not to give it, and therefore it's more likely that this get that we found is somebody else's, but not necessarily where if he wasn't Nimlach in the first place. So maybe that's why the Mishnah mentions Nimlach, but not necessarily are we saying that always if he says give it, then you give it. Nevertheless, no, you can have enough people that share the same names. It's possible. As we're going to see soon in the Gemara, we're going to have an example of that, yeah.
We don't say it depends if you found it in his house or
you
found
it. No, we're talking about you found it in the street. If you found it in his house, then you know it's his anyway.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking about you found it in the street. Yeah. Anyway, Tosfos goes on to discuss about the how the Gemara is medayik from the Mishnah, because we don't say ksuvim ha'yuvalay nosnan, we say nimlach, that was saying that maybe now he doesn't want to divorce her, but now when he says tnula, then we can give it without being concerned that it's from somebody else. And Tosfos goes and discusses back and forth various details on that, and various details how it comes out in the sugya over here. Anyway, so the basic question though is that the Mishnah had said, our Mishnah is just saying that if he says it's new, you can give it without distinguishing how long it's been lost, whereas based on the Mishnah and Gittin, there should be that distinction. So the answer is it depends whether it's a place where caravans commonly come through and travel. So when you have a place, when you have a place where people are always traveling through, there's a much higher likelihood that a person with the same name dropped this get. And now the get that you found is not the original one that the person lost. Now, we can talk about the case where he has a simon on it, and we're going to discuss that on Omid Beis, but right now we're not getting into the matter of simoning yet. Furthermore, the Gemara continues. Now, this Rashi points out this next line of the Gemara is not a continuation of Rabba's statement. This is the Gemara explaining something within Rabba's statement in order to reconcile it with another statement of Rabba. So the Gemara says, "V'afilu b'makom shashiyoras mitzuyas," even in a place where caravans and people are commonly coming through all the time, is only when do we say there's a problem? Only if we have a chazakah that there are two people in the same city named Yosef ben Shimon. Meaning, we don't ordinarily, when we find a get, even b'makom shashiyoras mitzuyas, we're not concerned that it might be from a different unknown Yosef ben Shimon, unless we know for a fact that there are two people in this town that have the name Yosef ben Shimon and their wives have the same name, etc. And we have to say that. If not, then you're going to have a contradiction between two statements of Rabbah himself, as we're going to explain. An interesting point, Rabbi Tzadik HaKoyen makes, the famous Rabbi Tzadik HaKoyen of Lublin makes a point in a couple of his Sfarim. Why does the Gemara use in these contexts Yosef ben Shimon? Reuven ben Shimon or something would be the usual expression, Yitzchak ben Avraham, whatever, why up with these names? And he has an arichos on it. The gist of it is that we know Shevet Shimon in the Midbar, a terrible thing happened by Baal Pa'ur. They were Mezana with Benois Midian and Benois Moab over there. 24,000 of them were killed. It had a permanent effect on their Shevet. We see Moshe didn't even give them a bracha of their own. They didn't get a territory of their own in Eretz Yisrael, etc. There were all kinds of effects from it later on. So you would think then maybe they lost the Kedusha that belongs among the Jewish people. No, we say Yosef who was especially careful with Shmiras HaBris, he's Ben Shimon. He's like, as if he's like the son of Shimon, meaning in other words, they have such a strong connection. Yosef, who was able to overcome his taiva in that area, is, so to speak, the son of Shimon, and is Myla, and is refining what Shimon should be. And therefore, Shimon is, after all, still part of the Kedusha of the Jewish people, just like everybody else. So that's what he's saying. The significance is that we're saying that Yosef is metaphorically the son of Shimon, meaning you shouldn't think that Shimon, by the way they behaved, or forfeited the Kedusha of a Yid. No, Yosef, who was extra careful with the Kedusha of a Yid, is, so to speak, their son, and a son gives schus to his father.
Okay, they didn't come from the same mother.
No, of course not. We don't mean the actual historical Yosef was the son of Shimon. We just mean the Gemara puts those names together in connection, in particular with Dinim of Kiddushin and Gittin and other things like that, in order to imply this point. Yeah, I didn't give him a bracha, but sorry, but then. Okay. Same. Dahu Gitta de Shtakach be Dinah de Rav Huna. They once found a get in the Beis Din of Rav Huna, Dava Kosov be. And on this get, it said that it was given b'shviri masa in the city of Shviri, da'al rochis nara, which is located on the river Rochis. Now, nowadays, when we give gittin in later times, that became the standard thing. You write. This is the only example in the Gemara. This, and it's brought also on Daf Chof, and also in the parallel Gemara in Gittin, where it mentions that the name of the city and the name of the river. The poskim explain there's a reason. Technically, you don't have to always write a river. In practice, they do. And in fact, in practice, they usually try to write at least two water sources, with the idea being you can't write, for example, let's say the name of the state or the name of the country it's in. Borders change all the time. But rivers stay put, and the names of them usually stay, continue to be over even thousands of years. So therefore, it makes more definitively that this is the city we're talking about. So you have Adayim Hazeh. You look in, they have manuals for Rabbanim who write Gittin. They have whole Sfarim and whole manuals on the subject where they list the different cities and how you write their water sources. Here in Brooklyn, for example, they write that Brooklyn, which is located by the East River and by Nahoris, by other rivers, for example, you have the Gowanus Canal and whatever, they don't name them in the get, but yeah. Anyway, the point is that that helps distinguish between, for example, there were other Brooklyns in the United States, so this helps distinguish. Anyway. So Amar Rav Huna, says when they found this get, we have to be concerned that there are maybe two cities called Shviri, and now, in other words, you have a person coming and saying, hey, that's my get, I lost. But we know that in the city of Shviri that we know of, there's only one man who has the name that's written in this get, but we don't know, says Rav Huna. There might be another Shviri with another man of the same name in it. In fact, Tosfos wonders, in that case, then how could anybody ever divorce? And the answer is that as long as we don't have a chazaka, that there's another city of that name, then we don't have to worry about it. Here, we're Nofal, where the get actually was lost, then we have more reason to be choshesh, just like we talked about a few days ago as far as shtori chori. Anyway, the point is, so Rav Huna is saying you have to be concerned that maybe there are two cities, and therefore it's not so simple to return the get to this person who's claiming it. Elsewhere, Mefoshim bring that it may not be a Tosfos in Baba Basra says he's not making it as a statement. He's rather asking a question. Chayshinim l'shnei shviri. Do we have to be concerned that there might be another shviri? So shviri is the name of the city. V'omalei Rav Chista l'Rabba, so Rav Chista, who was a Talmud Chavah of Rav Huna, and he helped him run the yeshiva, basically. So he tells Rabba, who was also one of the Talmudim over there, Huk ayin ba, go look into this. De'l'uta boi menach Rav Huna. This evening, Rav Huna is going to ask you for your opinion about it, so you should be prepared with an answer. Nofak, so Rabba went out of the Beis Medrash, dark, and he looked into it. Going out would be, for example, he might go to be asking other people outside the Beis Medrash whether they know of any Mishnayos or Braises that bear on it. It may just be that he wanted to spend some time on his own thinking about it, whatever, and he thought into it. V'ashkach, and he found something that's relevant. D'tnan, the next Mishnah in our Perek says, Kol Maisa Beistin Areza Yachzir, that any Maisa Beistin, any Shtar that Beistin was Makayim. Now, we learned a few days ago there's two possibilities. We said Kol Maisa Beistin may mean any Shtar that Beistin was Makayim, or we said, Reb Zera had said no, maybe it only means certain types of Shtaris, Shtari Chaltos of Adrachta, maybe only those are included. But here, Rabbah is understanding that it means any shtar that based in with Makayim, Hareza Yachzer, then you can return it. Because again, there's no Nimlach Olav Shalai Litna, there's no concern that he may have changed his mind. And now you can say, even if you don't have the concern of Nimlach Olav Shalai Litna, shouldn't you be concerned that maybe there's another person of the same name, and maybe this shtar belongs to him, and yet we're saying we're not concerned about that. And the same thing over here, Rashi. The same thing Rashi points out over here. What was the shtar doing in Rav Huna's Beis Din? Because they were Makayim. That's why they found it over there. Now consider Rav Huna's Beis Din is like a place where shayoris are always passing through because everybody always comes there for dinei Torah. And Rabbah is still saying, based on that Mishnah, that you can return it. Alma, so we see from that, only if we have a chazaka, if it's known that there are two Yosef ben Shimons in the city, then we have a problem. Then we have a problem returning the get. But if not, then not. And therefore, in other words, when Rabbah had said just now on Amud Aleph that there's a difference between shayoris mitzuyas or not, we have to say that in addition, in order to not return the get, there have to be two issues, Sheyoros Mitzuyas, and we know that there are two Yosef and Shimons of the same name. So here, Rabbah is saying the same way, we don't have to be concerned. There's a second city, Shviri, that we don't know about, because even though it's Sheyoros Mitzuyas, we don't know of the existence of such a city, and therefore we don't have to worry about it.
Why didn't he mention the gate about the wife's saying it's saying only the first name, not saying the
here we're mentioning the city actually. The city is his name Shviri, located on the river Rochus. Yosef and Shimon, right. Well, we mean, in other words, Yosef and Shimon, and we mean their wives' names are the same as well, obviously. We're just not mentioning that detail, but we know obviously it has to be that way. The point is, in other words, that the point is that we see that when Rabbah said on Amud Aleph that there's a difference between Shayoros Mitzuyas and not, there's another factor which Rabbah didn't mention, but from this story we can see that Rabbah realizes that that's a factor as well, namely whether we know that there were two Yosef and Shimons, or in that case whether we knew there were two Shviris. If we knew there were two cities of Shviri, then we would have to be concerned that the get we found is not necessarily the one that the Yosef and Shimon of Shviri A is coming to claim, but since we don't know of a second Shviri, and even though it's a Mokum Shashayoros Mitzuyas, we don't need to worry about it. Chassam Sofer actually brings up an interesting side point. He says, you have a concept called Roiv V'Korev. You have when you have a majority, and then on the other hand, you have something close by, then you go according to the Korev. The Gemara mentions it in Baba Basra. So here, there might be another Shviri someplace else, but the one that we know about is closer to Rav Huna's Beis Din. Just on the basis of Roiv, shouldn't that be good enough for reason to say that it comes from the nearby Shviri? So the Chassam Sofer himself answers that no, when people gather to a place from many different places, then you don't have the concept of Korov. And since people are always coming to Rav Huna's Beis Din from all over the place, so you can't use the rule of Korov. Korov means nearby, means the closest city. But here, there's no reason to think that the people who come to Rav Huna's Beis Din are Davka any come from the closer Shviri any more than necessarily from the hypothetical further Shviri. So you can't use the rule of Korov over here. Different other Achronim give different other possibilities that maybe the Chachamim, maybe Midrabanan, we shouldn't give it Shaloi Lahutzi Laz, because you don't want somebody to say, oh, you're giving it to him, and really I know of another Shviri, and therefore they're going to bring the get into question or whatever. And then another possibility is Rav Huna means, he doesn't just mean there might be one other city named Shviri, there might be many cities named Shviri. And then already you have a Roiv that counteracts the Korov. And the Gemara continues, Ovad Rabbah Uvda, later on, when Rabbah himself was a Roish Beis Din, at the time of the story that we just said, Rabbah was a Talmud of Rav Huna. Later on, Rabbah acted in practice according to his own Shitta, with a get that was found in the building of the flax in Pumbedissa. These words are in parenthesis over here, actually, that it's based on the Maharshal, but actually based on what it says in Hagos Yunim, by me, there seems to be a bit of a misunderstanding of what the Maharshal meant. He didn't necessarily mean to remove these words from the Gemara. Anyway, there was a get that was found in a building that was used for storing or processing flax in Pumbedissa, Kishmaite, and he followed his own shitta as far as saying that we could return the get. Now, what was the situation? What exactly did they do in this building? Some say it was a building where they sold flax. And the reason is, so the reason why he said to return the get is because we didn't have a chazaka in that, in that there are two people in that city with the same name. So even though it was a place where people are commonly going and coming and going, then nevertheless there wasn't a concern because there was no chazaka of a second person with the same name. The ikadamri hechad the toru kidna. Others say that this building was a place where they soaked flax, which is not a place where people commonly come and go. Therefore, va'afagav de huchsaku. So that in that case, then the din would be even if in that city we know that there are two people who have the same name, that's fine. Because there are not commonly caravans of people going back and forth through this building. So in other words, we know that Rabba Paskin that you can return the get. We know based on what we just established in the Gemara that you need two factors in order to not return the get. That there are many shayoris and that we know of two Yosef and Shimon's. And here we're saying he said to return the get. It means that one or the other of these factors was missing. Which one? We can't be sure. Either the shayoris Mitzuyas was missing or the Huchsiku Shnei Yosef and Shimon was missing. So the Gemara continues, Rav Zeira Rami Masnis in Abraiso Mashan. Rav Zeira pointed out in this connection a contradiction between a mission between our Mishnah and a Braisa and then resolved it. Tnan Hamevi get for Obed Hemenu. We learn in the Mishnah, not our Mishnah, actually. We learn in the Mishnah in Gittin on this subject. We say that if a person is bringing a get and he lost it, motzil alter, if he finds it right away, kosher, then it's kosher being lav posel. And if he finds it only after some time, it's posel. And again, the Gemara in Gittin over there deals with the details of what exactly is considered la alter or a mini. But the contradiction comes from a braisa related to our Mishnah. Motzil get isha bashuk, when you find a woman's get in the street, if the husband agrees that the, if the husband agrees that he had given it to his wife, then you return it to the wife. But if the husband does not agree, he claims he didn't give the get yet, then like we said in our Mishnah, you don't return it to either one. The question would be, so you're saying that if the husband agrees that he had given the get, then you return it to the wife, implying even if it was a long time later, because in our Mishnah and in the Braisa, it didn't mention anything about how long afterwards. Plus, in fact, actually, the Ritva points out that the husband may not know when he dropped it. We can see the date on it. We can see when it is now. The husband doesn't know how long ago he dropped it necessarily. After all, he dropped it without knowing it. So, yeah. So implying that even if it's a long time later. So you have the contradiction. Is there a consideration of alter or not? And Umashani and Rav Zeira answered similar to what Rabba had said. It depends whether it's a place where caravans and groups of people are commonly coming through. Now,
if there's a lot of caravans,
then we have to be concerned that this get may have been dropped by somebody else, and that would be where the Mishnah in Gittin is saying only if you found it right away, where there hasn't been enough time for another group to pass through, then you can return it. So, some say that Rav Zeira means that in order to not return it, it means there also has to be a chazaka of two people of the same name in the city, in which case Rav Zeira exactly agrees with Rabba, that you need both factors in order not to return it. And if either one or the other factor is missing, then you can go ahead and return it. The Ikka da'amri. Some say that no, Rav Zeira means even if there's no chazaka of two people of the same name, you still can't return it. If there's shayoras mitzuyas, in which case pliga de Rabba, in which case, according to that way of understanding it, Rav Zeira would be disagreeing with Rabba.
Half
would be agreeing with half, but disagreeing on half. Yeah, because according to Rabba, you need both factors, and according to Rav Zeira, just shayoras mitzuyas is enough. Well, so the Gemara says. So we have two different. We have Rabba and we have Rav Zeira. I understand why Rabba did not bring the contradiction like Rav Zeira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, because he would rather bring a contradiction from one Mishnah to another Mishnah more than a Mishnah to a Braisa. A Braisa, you can always say there's a mistake in it or something. So therefore, Rabba preferred to bring from our Mishnah rather than from the Braisa. And then point out the contradiction between it and the Mishnah in Gittin and resolve it. Eller Rabzeira my time on the Omakaraba. Why doesn't Rabzeira point out the contradiction between the Mishnayas? Why does he use a Braisa rather than our Mishnah, which says that Nimla Chalein Shalei Litnan, then you don't return it? And the answer is Omalach, because Rabzeira will answer you. Mi Katoni Ha Omatnu Noisin Rafil Azman Meruba. What did we say? Rabba's point about the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Gittin and how to resolve it is based on the assumption that when our Mishnah says that you can't return it, it's because he might have changed his mind. And therefore, we infer, the Mishnah is implying, and we infer from it, that if he says that if he says tnu, then you can return it even a long time later. But the Mishnah never actually says that, Rav Zeira points out. So therefore, Dilma, Homa tnu noisnin, maybe the Mishnah says, yes, it does mean that if he says give it, but not, ula olam kidakayim alon, but maybe subject to the rule that it says in the Mishnah in Gittin, la'alter, only if you find it right away. So in other words, our Mishnah is not here to teach us Dinim of Gittin. You want Dinim of Gittin, you look in Mishnayis Gittin. But our Mishnah doesn't say one way or the other. Our Mishnah might be saying there is a case where you could return it, but only you have to look in the Mishnah in Gittin to find when that is, namely the altar. So the fact that our Mishnah says implies that there's a case where you can return it doesn't mean that it's across the board. Rabbah had assumed it meant across the board, and therefore you have the contradiction of the Mishnah in Gittin, and he has to point out the resolution. Reb Zeira is saying no. The Braisa, which clearly says, Bizman Sha'bal Moida Yachso Le'isha, when the husband agrees that he had already given the get, then you can return it to her. Where there, the Braisa doesn't distinguish between La'alter and not. And as the Ritva pointed out, Motza implies that you found it quite some time later, then therefore you can make that inference from the Braisa, but not necessarily from the mission. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lamanda Omar. Now we said there are two ways of understanding Rav Zeira's statement. We said we could say that he's agreeing with Rabba that you need both factors, or we could say he's disagreeing with Rabba and saying as long as Shayoris Mitsuyas, then that's reason enough to not return the get, even when we don't have a chazakah of somebody else named Yosef and Shimon. Then the question is, according to that way of understanding it, what would be the underlying machlokas? So the answer is like this. Rabba Slava to Katoni call Maisa Beistan. That is Yachzir de Shtakas Beistan Askinen. Rabba figures that when it says in the next Mishnah, call Maisa Beistan, any Maisa Beistan you return, why is it a Maisa Beistan de Shtakas Beistan Askinen? We're talking about where it was found in a Beistan, or Beistan to Mokum Shashayoros Mitsuyas, and a Beistan is like a Mokum Shashayoros Mitsuyas because people are always coming for Dine Torah and so forth. And therefore, necessarily it has to be again based on the Mishnah in Gittin. And therefore, only if you have also a chazaka that in that city there are two people of the same name, only then you can't return it. But otherwise, you could return it. So Rabbi is saying the very fact that it says Kol Maisa Beistin implies anything that was found in Beistin, which is a Makom Shasha Yoras Mitzuyas. V'Rabzeira Amalach. Rabzeira says no. Mikatoni Kol Maisa Beistin Shenimtzu BeBeistin Yachzer. After all, it doesn't say that they were found in Beistin. Just says they were Kol Maisa Beistin Yachzer Kapani. Ola Olam De'Shtaka Chabroi. It could very well be that the Mishnah is talking about the next Mishnah where it was found someplace outside of Beistin in a place where in a Shayoris Mitzuyas, and only then. So only then do you return it. But if you find it Mamakam Shasha Yoris Mitsuyas, then you can't return it, regardless whether we have a chazaka of two people of the same name or not. So Reb Zeira is saying you can't necessarily infer from that Mishnah that Mamakam Shasha Yoris Mitsuyas, there are cases where you can return it. No, you can say Mamakam Shasha Yoris Mitsuyas, you can never return it. And that Mishnah, when it says Maisa Beistin, means it was made and it was certified by Beistin, but you found it outside of Beistin. Okay. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yumiya, Omar. Rabbi Yumiya says, another way you can understand the difference. You could say that the case could be, when do we say that you can return the get in our Mishnah is where the Edim who are signed on the get said, we only ever sign one get for a man named Yosef and Shimon. So now these Edim are there. So now the husband comes and says, I'm the Yosef mentioned in that get. Well, very well then. We can see that these Edim, so therefore the Edim are saying they never signed another get of a person with the same name. Therefore, there's no concern that there might be another get out there with the same name because those Edim wouldn't have signed on it.
Now this kid has the city, and it has the.
So now it has the city. It has the.
And it has Adam's name also.
Yeah, and then again, has to have Adam on it, obviously.
Name, okay, but so right. Three things.
Yeah, but the point is that now the Adam are coming and saying we only ever signed the only get with the name Yosef and Shimon. That we only ever signed one get with the name Yosef and Shimon. Therefore, Yemi is saying obviously this has to be the one. Now Tosfos actually says it's not even. How does that help if the Edom? How does that help if the Edom say it? Maybe no. Tosfos says, how does that? Maybe after all, it was for somebody else. How do we know it's this guy? Fine, they're saying that we only signed one get for Yosef and Shimon. Still, this guy is claiming I'm the Yosef and Shimon in the get. How do we know that he's telling the truth? Maybe in fact, there was a different Yosef and Shimon out there who commissioned this get and they signed it for him.
And he is going to recognize who they are.
Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But anyway, Tosfos says that even without Adam, we wouldn't believe him on that. And like this, in other words, he's not going to deliberately lie to try and mess up his wife and give her a get which he knows full well as possible. We don't suspect to that extent. Tosfos also points out, anyway, it has to be that the Edim didn't actually see the signatures. If they actually see the signatures, then obviously, so the Gemara is going to say the Gemara is going to explain the Chiddush of it. But if they see their signatures, then the Gemara would have to formulate the Chiddush a little bit differently. So we're talking about they didn't actually see the signatures on this lost and found get. Rather, they're saying, we ask them, you know, we see your names on this get. Can you tell us anything about it? And they say, yeah, we remember that we only ever signed one get with the name Yosef and Shimon. Okay, so the Gemara says, Yehochi Maila Memra. Well, in that case, then what's the Chiddush? And the answer is, the Chiddush is, you still might think that you might have had the same exact name of the husband and wife, and you happen to have the same names of Edom as well. So in other words, when you're coming to Reuven ben Avraham and Shimon ben Yitzchak, and asking them, we see your signatures on this get, what can you tell us about it? Maybe there's another Reuven ben Avraham and another Shimon ben Yitzchak out there. And it so happens there's also another husband and wife and so forth with the same names, so maybe we should be choshish for that. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that you don't have to worry about that in Rabbi Yirmiyah's case, where the Edom are saying that we only ever signed on one such get. So here's where Tosfos is saying that it has to be if the Edom saw their actual signatures, then we would also have to say should we have to be concerned that maybe there were other people with the exact same handwriting, but the Gemara is not mentioning that. So we're saying they didn't actually see the signatures. We just tell them we tell them we saw your signatures on this get. What can you tell us about it? And we're saying the chiddush is that we're not concerned that maybe there are other people out there with the same name.
If witness are here and speaking to them, then why?
If the Edom actually see the signatures, that's what Tosfos is saying. Then there's much less of a chiddush. But then that's not even what the Gemara is talking about. We're saying that we don't actually show the Edom the signatures. We just ask them. We found this get that says that it was written for Yosef and Shimon, and we see that you guys' names are signed on it. So what can you tell us? Was this get given or not? Is there the possibility that the get was given or not? That we depend on the husband. But is there maybe another get with the same names that has your signatures? And they say no, there isn't. So we're saying then we can believe them, and then therefore, on the basis of that, we can return the get to the husband and assume that it is correctly his get.
And then later on,
so now he's claiming that he hadn't given it yet. So now later on, he'll give it to his wife. If we had the concern that it's somebody else's get, we would say it's outright possible, because we would say we can't be sure it was written for him and it has to be written l'shmo.
Why don't we say that between both of them, they have a community, they can go collecting from Lukochas again?
What is collecting from Lukochas have to do with it? The point is he's saying he never divorced her. She's claiming he already divorced me. That has nothing to do with collecting from Lukochas.
If you give it back to him,
so we said in the Mishnah, we mentioned what Rashi mentions in Gittin, that if you return it to him, where there's a problem, you might have the concern that he actually did divorce her and then he's claiming that he didn't, and later on he brings Edom, etc. But here we're focusing from the point of view of, are we concerned that there's another get out there that has the same names on it? And we're saying that when the Edom say we only ever sign one such get, then we don't have that concern. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with more ways of answering what the case of On Mishnah is, when you can return it, and continue on these topics of lost and found.
Maybe once learn somewhere that we have to be worried about giving it to him because of community. they might get together and make a kunyan on the kippahs who are backing up the ksuba?
No, well, so that's as far as the ksuba. We're talking about over here as far as giving the get. Ksuba is something else. That's another matter as far as... But we did learn such a concept that there could be a knunya between them. But yeah, here we're talking about giving the get in the first place, so there's no knunya involved with that. But there is the concern is that maybe the husband might say, look, you know, this get has all the same names anyhow. I might as well use it. But as Tosfos is saying, if he knows for a fact that this get is not his, he's not going to go and be makalkal, and he's not going to go and be makalkal and deliberately give her a get that he knows to be posel in order that she'll think that she's divorced and then later on create problems.
So if it wasn't written in the Shema, even though he's actually physically saying this, yeah, go ahead and give it to her.
Yeah, it has to also be written in the Shema. We learned all about that in Masechta Gittin.
That wouldn't work.
Right.
Even though he's actually...